Hey there, and welcome to the special Who's the Boss bonus episode, webisode, I don't know what the term is, of Crippled Systems.
Who's the Sode?
Who's the Sode? Welcome to the Who's the Sode. I'm Nathan, Rydia fan, and with me as always is, of course...
I'm Andy, Major Tusk, the mastermind.
And Master Blaster?
Master Blaster, yes. Who runs Barter Town?
I actually also... A very frustratingly difficult Nintendo Entertainment System game. With the greatest plot line ever, a kid's pet frog jumps down a well so he gets in its giant death tank to go rescue it.
It does hit a thing of toxic waste and grows really freaking big, too.
Yes.
That game had, like, the best music ever and the best features ever for a vehicle.
Yes. I liked, actually, aiming upwards and then driving backwards because the tank looked like a rabbit.
Because
the cannon looked like its big pointy ears, and then what would normally be the dome top looked like a nose.
Yeah.
Anybody else out there who also did that and is going, oh my god, I did that too, you're welcome. You aren't alone.
I beat the game, I think, only once, and that was...
Beat that son of a bitch. Beat that guy.
I cheated like a mother.
Just like the first Ninja Gaiden, nobody's beating that game. They're all liars.
I got pretty close to the end.
Yeah. Oh, I've gotten to the final boss many, many times. I have like an annual thing where I get that game out, I put it in the Nintendo, I get to the final boss, and then I throw it across the room because there's no way you can beat that final boss. And then when you die, it starts you all the way at the beginning of that whole freaking level again.
When I bring out my Nintendo, I just play Pro Wrestling.
Pro Wrestling's nice.
Yes. You got to break out the Amazon once in a while.
The Amazon and Starman, those are my go-to, too. Starman just because his kick was really easy to do. You could cheese through that game with Starman.
Yeah, my favorite was just the Amazon cheating blatantly all the time.
In character.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Well, anyway, as we're kind of drawing off the subject, hey, off topic, who would have thunk it?
Oh, my God.
Yeah. We're also here talking about Who's the Boss. That happened.
I like that you said also. Like, also. That's a side thing. That's not the point. We're also here to talk about Who's the Boss.
Yeah. Well, I mean, off topic's going to happen. And that's how we roll.
Yeah.
So, we also have Who's the Boss? Who's the Boss? That just happened a week and a half ago, was it? Yeah, last weekend.
It happened just a few hours ago because we're on the ball and recording this right away, not holding it for the last moment ever.
Yes.
You're confused.
Yes. This is actually Monday the...
Let's do the math and figure out what it would have been.
I think it's the 6th officially. Can't be the 6th.
Is it the 6th? That's like Thursday.
The first,
the
second,
was
third.
On the first. Yes, the third.
Today is Monday the 3rd, yes, of December.
Yes.
Which we just had Who's the Boss. We can't talk about anything topical now. Nothing that will pertain that we're actually recording this December 10th. Wait, what?
I sure can't wait to find out what happens on popular television show next week.
Oh, amusement.
Anyway, yeah, so Mary Mayhem, Who's the Boss? What was this, 4, 5, 7, 6?
Technically,
that says 6.
Yeah, technically it was 6. The numbering all got screwed up because of War Machine Weekend. War Machine Weekend caused Who's the Boss 5 to become Who's the Boss 5 and 5.5 as the last-minute rendition ordered by
Carl.
Oh, sure,
because there were two of them. Yeah. Well, Who's the Boss 5 was a double feature.
Yes. So I'm going to be posting up along on the website, on the forum, all the winners and the armies for the two. Actually, we have 4 battle reports today. I had a notepad and now it's gone.
Organization is for suckers.
Yep. We got a couple of audio battle reports between some of the folks over at Who's the Boss. We got Marshall versus Brian Geezy. Marshall is one of our locals from Madison that became traitorous, much like Heath, and moved down to Iowa.
When we're tired of players, we just send them off to Iowa.
Yeah.
It's like, you know what? Madison's had enough of you. Why don't you go hang out with those guys?
It's like the Madison player retirement home.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
You go out and live out your days.
They go live out your days in Iowa.
So who are we sending next?
Yeah.
So it's Marshall versus Brian. Pretty crazy battle. You'll hear all about it. Then we have Marshall versus Jeremy. That happened as well. Then we have one of the big battles of Menoth John versus John, who plays Menoth. And then we have John, who plays Menoth, versus Madison Menoth John.
Yeah.
So we have just a couple of those. It was a really busy day. I couldn't get enough recorded. I wish I could have got more. We'll try to have more of those in our next events that we host in our area.
You can hear in the background of a couple of them, too. Like, it was a crazy, crazy time. You can hear all the action, everything going on. People being very noisy as weird, exciting things happened.
Yeah. And I just wanted to go over a couple of cool things that we had for our new Who's the Boss as well.
Yeah, I was going to kind of jump into that when you mentioned War Machine Weekend, because that's kind of how it came about. Anybody who's played in a previous Who's the Boss, especially the one at War Machine Weekend, would have been used to the boss point scoring system, where it wasn't quite just one point for a win, 0 points for a loss. It was like a variable number from like 5 to 8 for a win, and then 0 to 4 for a loss or whatever. Like it was different, but it was still winning versus losing. And yeah. On the way back from War Machine Weekend, we kind of just talked about that and decided we wanted to move away from that and make the game completely off the rails so that winning and losing mattered less than just having fun.
Yeah, yeah. I noticed a couple of folks at War Machine Weekend were kind of upset about how the scoring really kiltered towards somebody who just eliminated their opponent. And being eliminated is not fun. I mean, it's... Well,
there were people taking it seriously.
Yeah.
I mean, it boils down to that. There were people taking it seriously. And man alive, did you forget how this system works? Like, if you're taking it seriously while spinning a giant colorful wheel and hooting like a howler monkey, you're not in the right format. So we talked about it, and we didn't want people to even have the possibility, have the ability to take it seriously.
Yeah, correct. Yeah, definitely. We want to make sure that if you won all of your games, it wouldn't put you at a super distinct advantage to win the whole thing.
Or more importantly, if you lost all your games, that doesn't put you at a disadvantage to win the whole thing.
Correct. And winning the whole thing is literally just winning a $7 trophy,
right,
which is the boss trophy. I mean, there's many other prizes that we give out. We give out for fastest caster kill, for just about every other thing in the game, unit, solo, jack. We give a trophy out for bankruptcy, trophy out for the best combo, worst combo. It's a lot of prizes all around, which makes it fun. We want to try to make sure that everyone goes away from the event having some kind of fun.
Even Keith got a trophy.
Yeah. And
like that, you know, that's nice.
Yeah.
It's nice that Keith got something.
At least, yeah, yeah.
He couldn't win the event.
No.
He got a little something for participation.
To be perfectly honest, even though Keith won every single one of his games for the event, he only racked up only 16 boss points as compared to Brian, who actually racked up a total, what was that, 30?
It was 30-something, yeah. He doubled Keith, and he lost a game. Brian was 3-1. He lost to Fat Asian.
Yep. So, I mean, it just goes to granted. I mean, you can, well, this one especially, because you could almost buy your way into the position, well, as we talked about before.
Right.
Because the last four people bought their way into the boss
category.
Well,
even without that, he was you know, the four people who were at the top weren't four undefeated people before that bidding war. But for a specific mathematical example, of Brian's 30-something points, exactly 3 of them were for winning.
Yeah.
Like, you know, even before the bid war, when he was at 20-something, that's still less than a ninth, less than an eighth of his points were from winning games.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I don't know if you want to just go ahead and segue now and talk about some of the examples, but there's things like, one of my personal favorites that's just so ridiculous is I'm known for having crappy luck. I'm known for being able to roll trip ones like nobody's business, unless I'm trying to pass a command check, in which case it's all sixes all the time. So
yeah.
One of the achievement points that's worth exactly as much as actually winning your game is just having me roll your dice for you one time, like when it counts. Like I did several tough checks on Trollcasters or whatnot.
Yeah, I had the tough check on the Trollcaster. That was with
you probably passed yours.
Yeah, I did pass.
I did not pass mine.
Actually, the person that ended up getting the caster kill for a unit was Glenn Murray versus I want to say it was Matt Jajak. Bladesinger.
Yeah, it was. And Glenn, for a bit of trivia, is the guy who started Battle College.
Yes. Yes, he is. We'll eventually have him on the podcast sooner or later. He's been a pretty active local in our area. But yeah, Glenn killed off, I think it was Madrak with something. And
it was with Druids.
No. Well,
oh, that was after the tough check. Yeah,
that was
yeah,
after
yeah.
the tough check.
Pre-tough check.
I don't remember what he killed him with, but because I just walked past the table and then Matt let me roll the tough check for him, and he made the tough check, which actually pretty much screwed up Glenn's entire plan then. Then he had to try to figure out a way to kill off Madrak.
Well, if your plan hinged on your opponent's caster being dead, and then your opponent's caster isn't dead, that's going to screw up your plan a little bit. That's a pretty dramatic change in the game situation.
Yeah, I guess that's a valid point. Yeah, and we have a bunch of like similar game achievement boss points that we give out. One of my favorites is the Go Down Swinging. And I should mention this too. This whole game achievement thing partially came from an event that you ran.
Yeah, it wasn't my idea. I mean, the idea had been floating around and other people had run similar things, but I think I was the first one to do it in our area just because I was in love with the idea.
Yeah, he had an achievement sheet that was filled with, I want to say, 40, 50 achievements. Yeah,
there were a metric ton of them.
Yeah, and we'll probably put more onto there, but anyway, my favorite so far on here was the Go Down Swinging, in which that is make a successful charge against an enemy caster with your caster and then die.
Yes.
Or then lose, basically. Yeah. We had a few like that. There's Artesian, which is you get a bonus point for having at least 50% of your army painted.
Roll trip sixes, roll trip ones, show up on time.
Yep. Yeah. And we'll have more of those game achievements coming up here pretty quick. We got a couple more scheduled Who's the Boss events. We've got Who's the Boss that's happening over at the Dice Dojo in Chicago. Here on January 12th, we're going to be running 50 points plus 5 Warjack points, kind of using the same standard method. We're using the new achievement points along with the new boss score sheets.
Man, something that just occurred to me, like I don't know how this has been a blind spot. Oh my God, is this going to be crazy post more Colossals? Like when all the factions have Colossals or Gargantuans? Oh my goodness, is this going to break casters wide open?
We're going to go over real quick. Yeah, Dice Dojo, there's a Who's the Boss event going to be run by Malfred and myself January 12th. There's going to be some prizes that Dice Dojo is going to be giving out for random casters for the event, which would be kind of neat.
Prizes for random casters? Please explain more.
Okay, well, let me just read what they have on the site there. Dice Dojo has offered up random casters as prizes dependent on participation.
Oh.
The words pool of were used to describe the random casters, so the players, more players we get, the merrier.
I am intrigued.
Yep. Over on the Privateer Press forums, it's in the official demos and events, and it literally is the title is Who's the Boss Chicago. Right now, there's about 12 players signed up, and that's probably going to increase pretty quickly.
Oh, yeah, people wait till the last moment for these events all the time.
Yeah.
We always have, like, 6 people sign up, and then there's 30 people there, so.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a nice place down in Chicago. I will warn you, parking is kind of.
It's Chicago. Parking.
It's Chicago. I guess there isn't really a blanket warning there is Chicago parking.
Yeah.
Good luck.
The other warning is that there's a Mexican restaurant, Kitty Corner, across the street. Delicious homemade stuff, but their hot sauce is actually hot. Don't assume that they're pussyfooting around.
Oh.
Just a warning. I went there, I'm like, oh, hot sauce. These people always lie, and I put way too much on there. So,
it ended up on your shirt, too, didn't it?
It did, sadly enough. Mostly because I was weeping, and it was falling out of the taco as I begged people to save me from the pain.
You're just slowly weeping as things of burrito just coming out of your mouth. That's why you gotta get a longer beard like mine.
Yeah.
So it catches it all, and you can save it for later.
Yeah, that's appealing.
Yeah.
Yeah, great. Good God, can we just move on to the first battle report now?
Yeah. All right, we'll go ahead and cut away here to the first battle report.
Hey guys, this is Crippled System here. This is Major Tusk Andy. I've got a couple of the guys here from Who's the Boss. They just got done playing in the third round. We've got Brian Carnage for you versus Marshall. Hey guys, if you can pretty much kind of go over what factions you played and what casters you got and may have ended up with during the whole thing. So somebody wants to start off first, then go ahead.
All right, this is Marshall. I'm playing Legion. I was super psyched at the start of this round. Carnage, one of my Madisonian friends here, called me out to get a game in. I spun Grim Angus as Legion and was quite thrilled with that because he has lots of potential with a fast army and very good ranged. And then I was even more excited when Carnage spun Caliban, who does absolutely nothing in quicks. And is overall
literally
kind of bad.
Well, a little.
His feet does a little bit.
A little. 1%.
But
he's
then
a 1%er.
I forgot that double crosses were a thing, and that he could buy them, and he did. And so I suddenly found myself with Grimm, Caliban in Legion, which is
and a tear
the worst
eye.
Thing ever, because I brought no spell motors, which is the worst decision I've made all week. And he had a very potent control caster who could shoot through anything. So I was less than thrilled. The table we were playing on was a giant river with a single bridge in the middle of the board as overrun.
Nice, nice. Did you what was the makeup of your list?
I had a Proteus, a Carnivian, a Ravagor, Maximum War Spears, two Shepherds, a Shredder, and a Succubus.
Nice.
Carnage.
What was your faction?
I was playing Krix. I had a unit of Bane Knights, Tartarus, Stixus Raiders with the captain, very outside the box thinking. I did add a Bloat Thrall, two Night Wrenches, Deathjack, and Who's the Boss Foreman. It's just hilarious to see who Deathjack's going to get controlled by. Round one, he had a Pinemo, which was hilarious. spoiler alert, I won that game. For this game, yeah, and then I had a Warwitch Siren and a Pistol Wraith. I tried to be a little bit of everything just because of the whole the format of, you know, random casters. And the fact I got Grim Agnes gave me Pathfinder when I didn't. So it was much fun, even though seeing the little tear in his eye when I stole Grim Agnes from him, it gave me the ability to potentially cross the river in my faction. So that's kind of the start of the game. So I switched out, you know, stole this caster.
So I ended up winning the to-go roll and deployed first and went first. The terrain beyond the river is perfectly symmetrical, so the side didn't matter. I moved up and made some mistakes in deployment. I deployed very towards one end of the river and put a light guard on the bridge because I knew I was never going to hold it against Banes. It's not going to happen.
And on my side, I put my Bane Knights heavy on the bridge, because one thing with terrain is being able to hit ghostly was just a big deal for me on that. And then I had the Stixus Raiders kind of go to fly across the water, because, you know, they don't care about water with Pathfinder. And the Deathstrike was kind of hovering a little bit away from them, because I was afraid of them being fearless. And then I just spread out my Night Wrenches and just kind of, I also put the Pistol Wraith on my bridge. And then what was nice on turn one, I was able to lock the target on the on your battle engine, which made you sad.
Sorry. My list also had a Throne of Everblight.
All right.
Big 9-point thing.
Which was, yeah. So round one, I had managed to lock it down. Otherwise, positioning I was pretty happy with.
So my turn two came around, and I was feeling even less happy because I had a battle engine that couldn't move because I kind of wanted it to fly up under the bridge and eat a bunch of Banes. And then Battle Wizard down onto kill at least a few of the whip chicks, but that didn't happen at all. Instead, it just walked up and did a spell to minor effect. It wasn't dead weight, but it didn't really do a whole lot that turn. The rest of my army pushed in. War Spears struggled through the rough terrain. Proteus pulled in the Arc Node so he could gobble it up.
Very important detail. The War Spears managed to kill one Bane Knight.
Yes. I was getting to that.
My favorite part of that turn.
So I was thinking in my head how I needed to deal with the bridge, because I knew I couldn't hold it, but I knew I had to at least contest it for two turns, probably, to keep the Banes off my army from just enveloping me completely. So in my head at the start of the turn, I went, okay, so the War Spears are going to assault and kill a couple of the chicks, and the two that were on the bridge were going to assault, and then I was going to have a brilliant tactical maneuver of Ravagoring one of them in the back of the face to drop a Scather, which will pretty much stop, it'll force them really heavily through the bridge. It'll make it really hard for them to get by. But then partway through the turn, I decided that I had to stop. There was a really good position for a Scather to stop the whip chicks. And I think if I lost that charge, if I let the entire unit just willy-nilly charge me, I wasn't going to have a ground army to worry about protecting on the flank. So I changed my mind after killing a single Bane Knight.
Nice.
And so I had a 9-man vengeance.
Hilarity did ensue.
Killed the remaining guard in his maintenance, and then they charged a Ravagor. but I will pass that back to Carnage for his turn two.
So I'm feeling pretty good at the start of this turn. I think that my Bane Knights can take out a Ravagor and a couple of the Ogre, and my Stixus Raiders should be able to drop Proteus. I kind of kept Deathjack back just far enough because I didn't want to, because we would have had a peace trade. I was afraid of charging my Deathjack, killing Proteus, and having a Carnivore killing Deathjack, and I didn't want to play that game. So what's more fun is having like a couple of Whip Chicks just really mess up Proteus. We both would have laughed over that. My Raiders charge forward and decide to fail command check, and I cried a little on the inside and a little on the outside. But I sallied forward. So my entire, luckily I had cluttered the front of my army because my Raiders were spread up pretty good. I had a couple on a throne. I had a couple on Proteus. I had a couple on a bunch of models, but they just failed their command check and twiddled their thumbs. I then sent my Bane Knights into the Ravagor and managed to keep him with 3 life left. So I'm a little depressed on that side of the board. But I was able to this turn death chill his battle engine, so it still was not going to be doing much. And then I kind of finagled Tartarus forward a little bit. And I knew Deathjack was probably going to hit my Proteus, but I just had to threaten with him. So I risked it. And then I just kind of shambled a couple of their models around. I had a Siren in the background. I had a... another Arknode kind of ready to go forward. I did have one Arknode get killed the previous turn because of the locked target, but I had another one ready to go. And so that was the end of that turn. I was pretty depressed because I failed on both ends to do what I had planned out to do.
So start of 3, I started to feel the wind of hope under my wings as Brian Spirit is crushed by the failed command check. Absolutely crushed. That my Ravagor survived for an additional turn was nothing but gravy, though understandably he was a pretty locked down. He had nowhere to go under 5 Banes. So at the start of the turn, I start off with the throne. The throne just starts wailing into the Whip Chicks while they are fleeing. Kills 3 of them, gets a spell off, kills another couple of them. So that alone killed about half the unit. And then I use the War Spears to reposition a little bit, and I clear off the ones he was charging Proteus with, and then I use Proteus to drag Deathjack in, and the Carny charges it, does a lot of damage, but I do fail to kill it because I was playing a little conservative on that.
I left
that.
The right arm and cortex was left. 4 right, boxes.
Right arm and cortex, i.e. one of the systems I never want to leave him with. I'll give him 2 arms before I give him a cortex. Yeah. So that made me a little sad, but I still felt it like I was in a pretty decent spot.
Deathjack was locked down pretty well.
Yes, Deathjack was not going anywhere. Between Proteus, Free Strikes, dragging him back, and being mired in rough terrain, and so you need cross-country on it, and a Carnivian standing there with a POW 18 Free Strike if you ever do something stupid.
And Spiny Growth if I even choose to attack him, with 4 hit points left.
Yeah, like, I did not think Deathjack was still in the game, so I felt fine. And then the rest of my army kind of pushed forward. Malak got rid of the pistol wave.
Caliban.
Oh, Caliban. God. They all look the same. Gators all look the same.
And taste the same.
Like chicken, I hear.
So he gets rid of the pistol wave with a boosted bone shaker for the first time I've ever seen that spell do anything.
It slaughtered the pistol wraith.
Yeah. Boosted POW 12. And then he kind of repositions, tries to hide next to the throne because I realize imminent ghostly runs through the throne is a very real possibility from the Banes. So I'm just trying to take up as much real
estate. Well, not through a round. I can't go through miles. It's only
well,
through
terrain. Yeah. But, like, it's a real dangerous threat. I'm just trying to take up space. And then that was pretty much
you
it.
Trampled.
Oh, yeah. One of my shepherds who was caring for the Ravagor moved up, healed one off each aspect, and then he trampled through because he was going to die anyway, and I may as well try and crush half of the unit, and I did manage.
You killed
and
3 or 4.
I killed, like, 4, which was a good enough gain to give you vengeance, I feel. And then he died to a set of 3 Free Strikes that he gave up to get the trample off. But it was worthwhile to trade 3 hit points on a beast for 4 Banes at that point.
Sure. So then, so your turn ends, and I'm looking at the board. My Deathjack's locked down. My Bane Knights are kind of free now on the bridge, and they vengeance in a way that I can get probably 3 of them on your caster, who had 2 transfers. And Tartarus was kind of too far away to be able to curse or anything. So I'm staring at the board. My Raiders are afraid. My Bone Chicken. Oh, you killed my Blood Thrall. Got killed. that game. Although he blew up and killed the Warspear back, which was hilarious.
I did forget that. When my Warspears moved up to do stuff, they killed a bloat fall, which killed one Warspear back, and it got on one of the whip chicks, but it turns out they're immune to blast damage.
So, hilarious. Yeah. All right, so then my turn goes. I am staring at the board thinking, how do I do anything? I mean, Grim Agnes, I have not feeded, is 12 inches away from Caliban, but I can't get... I mean, there's an army between the two of us for the most part. My Death Drag's locked down. My Bane Knights can probably get on it, but, I mean, three attacks with two transfers with no way to... I mean, I can maybe get lucky and mark you for death for minus two defense at most, but I'm still need to hit all three Bane Knights, and I got to roll bonkers. I don't really like that odds. Grim Agnes might also get a shot on you, so I might be able to move forward, shoot you once, maybe waste a transfer, then hope two of the three Bane Knights hit. That was the only option I had, because you had killed my Pistol Wraith and everything else. So I'm staring at the board, and I'm staring at his army, and I realize I have myself an emergency respin token. So I call over the judge to use, because the judges roll for you when you use their respin. And Nathan Hoffman, Ridia fan, comes, grabs it, and spins the wheel, and I end up with Legion of Everbite caster Rias, which, as ironic as she is bad, she has a very corner case moment now where my Bane Knights are going to get another inch of movement, and her feet is going to give me two attacks. So now suddenly I'm going to have six attacks on his caster, and because of the way things are bouncing around, I'm going to be able to teleport one or two Bane Knights onto Caliban as well. In addition, I basically move her forward, feet and dash. I use Tartarus to charge forward. He has to use his attack. He damages a carnivore, Carnivian, which lets me teleport behind the Carnivian, which now allows me to put a curse onto Caliban. And then he's also in the Dark Shroud, which isn't too critical, but that the plus two to hit was big. So then I go ahead, and I'm like, okay, time to charge with the Bane Knights. So the Bane Knights charge in, and I get, I think... Now I have three or four. Because Caliban killed a war or something died by. I killed something. I killed a. I forgot. I created a Bane.
You didn't charge the colony with.
Oh, I charged a Warspear.
You charged a Warspear. You missed the first one. Almost Jesus flipped the table, then realized you had a second attack.
I rolled snake eyes and I went. Oh. It was like my command checks are all high and my critical attacks are all snake eyes. So it was a little frustrating. And I stared. I almost raged the table to death. But it was my train that I had bought on the table, so I couldn't actually break my own stuff. Stupid logic.
Thankfully, Kulma heads prevailed because of it.
I stopped seeing red, realized I had another attack, teleported back. So then the Bane Knight Swarm charges. I need, I believe, eights to hit instead of tens, you know, that many attacks. First guy misses, then I hit. I do like 10 damage, a transfer. Next model misses, hits. You do it, does a transfer. And then my next model, just the two attacks from him brought the caster down, and I was able to pull it off.
The charge did 10 of my 15, and the follow-up did like 7 more.
Yeah, all my attack rolls, I think the worst I rolled on the 3-dice, I rolled average or better on everything.
In retrospect, I would have probably been okay had I remembered to feat the previous turn and gotten like another 6 additional Feely.
If you would have feated you, you could have killed enough models possibly to slow it down.
But instead, I decided not to feat, and because I activated the caster way too late.
So Crix is okay with Rias' feet, and Dash is okay for Crix, too. Those two things together.
After Grim delivers you.
Yeah.
Yeah, Grim with the delivery system.
Yeah. Yeah, Grim got him there, and then they had some fun afterwards. So that was the game. It was pretty... I mean, it's a charity event, so I actually bought... At the beginning of the day, I bought both the emergency respin and the double cross. So, I mean, you know, so charity got $25. I got to watch Marshall, tears in his eyes. I almost flipped the table. It was a very emotional day, really, is what happened there.
If nothing else, I can write this loss off as a charity.
Yes. I want to douse the tears, because it's Toys for Tots. I want those toys to be doused in your tears and my rage, and then those kids will have an awesome gift.
And in fairness, any loss after round two, after what I did to poor Jeremy Shea of this very podcast.
An embarrassing loss by Jeremy Shea. I've never seen someone play that poorly.
And he didn't even play that poorly, but his dice decided that he was never winning this game ever.
Yeah, it's hilarious.
I would love to do a battle report with Jeremy about that game.
Well, Brian could just literally tag out.
And Jeremy stares at me as I comment on how he's sad.
Why, hello there, Jeremy.
So I'm done with that. So you have fun with your next report.
Sure. All right. And there we go.
All right. So, this is Jeremy, joining you on the mics now. Carnage left.
Yeah.
Marshall, Ronan here, still reporting about our round two game.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which was me versus Marshall. Yep. So you want to go first, Marshall? Go ahead.
So, again, playing Legion. I spun... What's his name? Peace of Alias.
Yeah.
Perhaps the best Legion caster I've ever seen, shy of Fiora.
Yeah, he's fucking broken.
So.
Yeah, so I spun... why am I blanking? Oh, three Vlad with Rhett. Standard Rhett list, except I was taking a Colossal. So three Vlad's feet was pretty much I'm a super solo and nobody else gets anything.
Yeah.
Sitting down, felt pretty good about my caster and how bad his caster was. I went first and we were playing a Who's the Boss special scenario with...
Which one is that?
The Shredder spawning.
The Shredder spawn? Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Which is it's a radial with a zone in the middle to control. Shredders pop out randomly and eat whatever's close.
Yep.
So I push forward early game.
I think the key turn, I feel like there's really only one turn that really needs to be discussed here. Well, maybe two. But the key turn is I load up the Hyperion with three focus. I give it +2 melee damage with my Arcanist.
You're failing to do justice to how bad this game was.
The game was a train wreck up my butt from start to finish. However, the turn where it really went off the rails was I charge in with a Hyperion at PS-22 against the Throne of Everblight. Armor 19,
10,
dice 19. +3, 24 boxes. I get four attacks because I had to charge, and the first one is automatically boosted, which I whiff. I then take my second initial, and I hit, and
no.
I do 11. No, I missed the third one.
Oh, you missed the
third one. I hit the second initial. I do 11 damage at dice +3. Okay. All right. We're back on the rails. This will be all right. Whiff my third attack, and my fourth attack hits and does 5 damage. I rolled snakes on the damage roll.
Leaving it with 4 hit points.
Yup. So then, on the other flank, 3 Vlad feats, because nobody else is going to use it anyway, so he uses it, charges into a carny after I'd stripped spiny growth off of it with Eris. So I charge into the carny.
It was Proteus.
Proteus. No.
It was Proteus.
I thought I hit carny. He backed off Proteus before.
Oh, you're talking about that turn.
Yeah.
Okay.
Still same turn.
Yep,
as the Hyperion screwing
still turn
the pooch.
3.
So Vlad comes in. Charges on the carny, hits the carny, because he's mat 9 with powerful charge. On brutal charge, up to a pow 14, dice -4, he does 2 damage?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, 2 damage, I believe.
So
he rolled
sweet.
A 6. He hits him again with his PS-13 sword. Now he's at dice -5, and does no damage.
Yep.
He then does a flashing blade with the spear, manages to hit the war spear next to him, not kill it, does like 3 damage or something, hits the carny for like 2 damage. Flashing Blade again, hit the War Spear, don't kill it, hit the carny for no damage? I think I did no damage that time.
You might have done 1 or 2. He had taken about 13 damage over the course.
Okay, so 1 or 2. Then Flashing Blade again, finally kill the War Spear after 3 attacks at POW 12. But, you know, that's legit. You know, it's only dice -4.
Yeah.
F my life. And then hits the carny again for like 3 or 4 damage. So I sprint away, because otherwise I'm just auto-dead, back behind a wall on a hill, taking a free strike from a carny.
At POW 19,
which nearly rips Vlad in half. It does like 9 damage. Vlad retreats behind the wall. And the turn before that, the one thing I forgot to mention was the Throne of Everblight advanced and caused a unit that had 10 men remaining in the Mage Under Strike Force to flee, and a full unit of Battle Mages to flee. They both rallied that turn, but obviously didn't do much.
So Horse Vlad is not very agile when trying to run away from beasts.
As it turns out, if Hyperion can't even kill a throne, what the hell am I doing?
Yeah.
Why do I get up out of the morning? So from there, it went swiftly downhill. I don't really think there was anything noteworthy. He just shoved my shit in and killed all my models.
Yes.
Shoved my shit in hard.
In my defense, I did try and move heaven and earth to kill Vlad... After he failed to kill the carny, but I just couldn't get it done.
Yeah.
He was a little too far away. So if you wanted your pain and suffering to end,
I could have just sat there in front of the carny, which, after 5 attacks, including a charge from a caster, still had all his aspects up.
Instead of Ravagor, had to nearly wreck Hyperion.
Yes. Yeah. No, the Ravagor wrecked him. Oh, yeah, the Ravagor almost wrecked me. And then the following turn, you killed it with the carny while Proteus killed my caster.
Yes.
Nice.
No. So, yeah, Eye of Menoth is patently unfair in Legion. Any PP people that are listening to this podcast, you should not give that spell to Legion.
I disagree. I think there's a lot of potential in giving a Legion caster Eye of Everblight, not Eye of Menoth, and Defender's Ward.
Yeah, Defender's Ward also not cool when combined with Spiny.
This could be E-Callus, just throwing it out there.
So did the Shredders from the board kill anything?
The Shredders were the only damage done to his caster.
I'm going to talk about the Shredders a little bit because they really hampered me. Yeah. So early game, I felt pretty good. Early turn, he brought his assassins a little too close, killed them right out, and then I got the free pass of you're going to win this game of two units fleeing simultaneously.
Sure, sure.
So I started to look at things that could immediately kill me, and the things I saw the most were the Shredder Pits. And so I played half of my game defensively around them. There was always a solo between me and a Shredder Pit, for fairly exacting reasons.
Nice.
A Shredder nearly killed that throne that Hyperion failed to.
Put three of the last four damage on it, but failed to kill it.
Nice.
But one of them came out, and I predicted this happening.
Yeah.
And there was a succube. It came out right behind my caster. And that's Sebi, so he's only a 14-14. But I had a succubus between me and it, so I'm just like, well, goodbye, succubus. You know your job. You're wearing a red shirt.
Yep.
Nice.
Another one. It ate a couple of my troopers as well.
And two attacked your caster because one it popped out behind your caster, killed the succubus, and then popped out again behind his caster.
Yes.
And both of them charged his
caster.
I was
camping three at the time.
Nice.
And then I went down to camping one at the start of my turn.
Yep.
So nice. I had to cut for two and then do something about these Shredders. Sebi may have bonked a Shredder or two to death over the course of that game.
Nice, yeah. To be clear, the Shredder Swarm scenario, Shredders only have only one hit point, so they're not as nasty as the normal Shredders.
They're still pretty terrifying. Last year, I played the Shredder Swarm table, and there's a way where two Shredders can spawn at the same turn.
Yeah.
Two Shredders spawn the same turn, each one right next to a Mage Hunter Assassin. Each ate a Mage Hunter Assassin on turn two, my game last year, which was super fun.
Well, this year you just decided to get them both shot to death.
I did get them. Well, no, one of them got killed by the throne.
One of them got stabbed by a tentacle tower.
Yeah, that's true. Very hentai-esque.
All right. Well, thanks, guys. Yep. Thanks, guys, for coming and playing. And we'll probably see you next year.
Yep.
You know it.
All right. We are recording right now.
Oh,
so.
God.
All right.
Hi, guys. This is Major Tusk of Crippled System here, running Who's the Boss over in Madison, Wisconsin. I've got Menoth John.
That would be the official, real, honest-to-God Menoth John.
Yes. The true Menoth John.
I'm just the John that plays Menoth.
Yes.
Yes.
otherwise known in the circles as Fat Asian.
What'd you call me?
In the circles.
Did you just...
Circles.
Did you just call me fat?
Let me help you with that, Andy. Comment allez-vous?
All right.
He also has this thing called Musa Minis Podcast.
We do.
Yeah, which hosts the Crippled System Podcast, which is awesome. Thanks, guys. But anyway, they're here to report on one of their battles, and I'll just let them go at it.
All right, well, we'll start with the roll, right? The spin?
Yes, absolutely.
And I think I spun first.
You did spin first.
And I was extremely excited because I'm playing Legion. I've got Raptors. I've got Typhon. I've got a Seraph.
You're running what you might describe as a shooty army.
Right. And I'm like, oh, man, who would be really good with this list? And I spin the magic wheel. I also have Black Frost Shard.
So Black Forest Ham.
Yeah, yeah. And so I spin the wheel and I get Ossian. And I'm like, Ossie. Oi, oi, oi. I'm so excited. I'm like, oh, my gosh. Ossian speed is going to be amazing because I have, you know, poison bows, I've got a Seraph, I've got Typhon sprays, I've got ways to lower your defense with ice cages, I've got harm. Like, I'm just going to blow you off the table before anything happens because I'm a stud. I have a Nissa. Like, ah, man. And I had a sighting.
Meanwhile, in the black heart of one Menoth John, a spark arose. And during that spark, I remember the fact that for the last year I've been playing Retribution. And Ossie's kind of good, and he makes ranged armies just start on fire. I should probably have him. Now, I came to the Merry Mayhem here with an extra $100 in my pocket. $100 is going to go to Fool to get a new tray because he should be supporting Fool's trays because they're awesome. And the other $100, I was not paid at any time for that announcement. The other $100 was for charity because we're here to support, you know, charitable things. And so I figured if I could possibly screw Fat Asian for charity, that's like double rainbow karma for me. So I said, well, I'll go ahead and spin. And we went clickety, clickety, clickety. And I pulled up Gareth.
And at this point, I'm thinking to myself, he is so hosed.
Yes. He gets this little French grin on his face. And
it's not a French. I'm not French. It's not a French grin.
And I go, wait a second. I got 20 bucks in my pocket that's burning a hole. For 15, I could have Ossie and he could have Gareth. Oh, here. Why don't you take this and let's switch, just for the hell of it.
Yep, so you played for a double cross token,
yes,
right away.
Absolutely.
And so I ended up with Gareth, and I had to play against Ossian. And if I remember your list correctly, it was Double Reckoner, Errant, Revenger.
Ion and Hold, Gorman, which you had no answer for, Gorman, because he's immune to fire and you're all fire attacks.
Yeah, I think I would have been fine with Gorman if there hadn't been a train that decided to park on the one turn I could kill him.
There was a lot of fortunate things that happened in this game, and when it comes to beating a celebrity, let's be honest about this. When you're one of the true all-stars in the War Machine community.
Not an all-star.
One of the more recognizable faces. You may have seen him in the movie Up. you got to take every advantage you possibly can. And I was very fortunate that we played on a table that read on the top of it, it was at the beginning of the person's turn. If you roll an eight or better, a train shows up and fucks your opponent.
Yeah.
That's basically how it reads. And I rolled the dice, and it came up, fuck that Asian. And it parked right in front of my Reckoner and all my errands so that he couldn't do anything against them.
I didn't even get kissed.
Toot toot. I would have taken you out for dinner, but I'm on a budget.
Yeah. So I'm like, also, for the record,
I'm hitting every meme on the mom podcast here. This is awesome.
For the record, Menoth cannot have admonition because admonition plus enliven is not fair.
It's a lot of movement shenanigans.
It is. But I was actually pretty proud.
Oh, that's horrible.
Yeah, the one memorable moment I had was when I killed your Reckoner with Typhon Sprays.
Yep.
Because I went and I positioned a Spell Martyr 6 1/4 inches away to not trigger...
Your ability to judge distance is infinitely better than Trevor Christensen from Chain Attacks.
and then I also moved my caster up behind the Spell Martyr, so I gallowsed it, drug you forward like 2 or 3 inches. Yeah. You enlivened 5 at back, but you couldn't get out of 10 inches away from Gareth, so I could gallows you again and bring you forward.
Absolutely.
And then I came up and I harmed him, and I ice caged him twice so that Typhon Sprays were hitting on double ones.
Yeah.
And they were dice minus 3.
Yeah.
So I put 3 boosted dice minus 3s. I moved Tyson up to spray him, but I moved him up about 6 1/2 inches away, 1/4 inch on the train track. Because I didn't want to trigger admonition.
Yeah. This turns out to be key in about 1.5 minutes later.
No, I don't want to save the suspense. Typhon got smacked by a train.
Yes.
So basically what happens is...
That's a good thing.
He has to roll an 8... and then a 3 on a D6 in order for the train to come in the direction to smack Typhon right in the ass.
Yep.
And so Typhon gets run over by a train. And that's sort of the metaphor for how this game went. It was such a good game. It was so much fun.
It was hysterical. It was a glorious time. I'm glad it happened first game because I actually was utilizing all of my brain cells. I'm down to about 3 left after playing Keith. And then Fool absolutely abused me. a little while later. It was just wrong. Although it was a nice taste of my own medicine after playing Red for so long, having Mage Hunter Strike Force come after me like that, it's like, well, can't even get close to running fast enough to screw with those guys. And it was just all downhill. It was at least as bad as your side was in our game.
Oh, it was great, though. Yeah, I mean, you just steamrolled me and Rickrolled me, but I did kill both Reckoners, so there's small victories, you know, getting through Enliven and Admonition and everything else.
See, this is why he gets the Sportsmanship Award at War Machine Weekend, because he can come up with, you know, good reasons why he should have any hope based upon what happened in that game.
Actually, the truth be told, the reason why I won Best Sportsman at War Machine Weekend.
I know, because you were being racist.
Yeah, I was basically calling everybody a fucking round eye and telling everybody how much I hated crackers. That pretty much sold it.
What do you have against saltines?
What's that?
What do you have against saltines?
No, it's white people I don't like.
Oh, God. Well, with all the worker strikes there are in France, I mean, I can understand why you'd hate us.
Right, but we had a great game. If you ever get an opportunity to play Who's the Boss, you should absolutely do it. I almost got to live a dream. I was really close. Ossian with Rhett would have been unbelievable.
There's a reason a $20 bill fell out of my pocket.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Ossian with Menoth seemed to be really good, too. But Menoth doesn't get to have nice things.
No.
Yeah,
no.
So I just... Yeah, I had a great time.
I had a wonderful time.
I should have went for an assassination. I forgot that you can't out attrition Menoth. I don't know why I forgot that. Seems like I should know that.
You play the faction a few times.
Yeah.
You wouldn't know it today. I couldn't remember what anything did. So
the amazing part is, at this point in the afternoon, and we just finished up round three, there are three Johns here that regularly play Menoth. There's Menoth John,
yep.
Menoth John, and John that plays Menoth.
Yes. Yep.
And round four is going to be the what did Nathan refer to it as?
The fightle for the title.
Yeah. So we're going to see how this goes. Both Johns who are referred to as Menoth John are now brain dead.
I'll be honest, it can really only improve your play. I'm kidding. I'm sorry. I'm just playing.
It's funny how flipping off somebody on the radio doesn't translate terribly well.
I could take a picture and we could post it on the forum.
Yeah, absolutely.
I only make fun of people that I like.
Aw. I love you too, man.
I got nothing but love for you. All right.
Well, we'll definitely come back with you. Definitely for you, John. Fat Asian John, with your battle reports, because we got a couple other doozies on the way as well.
Yeah, for those of you wondering, this is a little just preview. I got screwed every round.
And we're only praying that it happens the fourth time too, Nathan.
Yep. So, I think there might be some bribery involved to try to screw you out on fourth round too.
And also,
may not be guaranteeing that as judge. You will get double-crossed again.
So I'd like to thank both Andy and Nate for doing such an awesome job putting this all together. It's a fantastic format. The way you guys run this, it is a wonderful party. And thanks a lot.
Oh, dice down. All right.
Dice down. You got
dice down. Thanks. All right. Thanks, guys.
Good job, Andy.
Thanks. Hey, this is Major Tusk here for another battle report between Menoth John. Oh, the Madison Menoth John and Fat Asian, who faced off just now in the third round.
Basically the only reason why I'm doing battle reports today is so you can talk about how I got screwed.
Yeah, and there was some good screwing going on.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got to say, at the start, I was a little disappointed when I got P. Doomy.
Yeah.
And then you got something better.
So what, John, what faction were you playing
Playing Menoth, as you may guess from the name Menoth John.
Yeah.
and soon to be the real Menoth John, as the next battle may or may not decide. But had some errants, zealots, Avatar Scourge, and then just some miscellaneous support and solos.
Okay.
And I've already talked about my list. I mean, I did have two Spellmarters, which, let me tell you, Doomshaper makes amazing Yusef. So this guy over here, nice guy normally, spins up P. Doomshaper, and I'm like, I'm going to wreck you so hard. And I spin, and I get Dealer's Choice, which means the people that organize it get to pick your caster for you.
Yep.
And they're like, we're going to give you Karchev.
No, right? I'm the one who gave you Karchev.
Major Tusk gave you Karchev because Major Tusk wanted to screw me.
No. I just wanted to see Karchev leading the Legion army with Typhon. I thought that would be amazing.
So let me tell you a few things. Like, as soon as I got Karchev, like, my mind is immediately spinning. Like, I'm like, oh my gosh. So if I tow, I think I can place the guy behind him and I can activate Slipstream before I go on my tow so that I get placed by Slipstream after the tow. Which is
absolutely disgusting. Yeah.
What's that?
Which is absolutely disgusting.
Although I can't really run and Slipstream, so I don't know that I can make super good use of it.
Yeah.
But, you know, adding, if I can get my Seraph positioned right, you know, I have like a 13-inch threat range with Scythian?
With your Scythian or Typhon.
Yeah.
Yeah, either one would be.
Either way is absolutely terrifying.
Yeah, so I have like a 25-inch threat range or something like that ish.
But the thing that makes it less terrifying is me double crossing you and taking Karchev.
Oh, yeah, this is a theme for the day. Yeah. So I go from Karchev, where I'm like, oh my god, Unearthly Rage plus a Scythian or Typhon plus 25 inches of threat means I win. Like, I don't even see how I can lose this game.
Yeah.
To P. Doomy, who I'm like, how am I going to spend Focus or Fury? I'm like, I'm going to cast 5 Tenacities a turn. That's literally what I was able to do with
you. You got to manage your Fury somehow.
Yeah, I was like, well, I guess I could just dump all this Fury, or I could cast five tenacities. Yeah. And the only other thing he did is I could upkeep fortune for free, which I put on the Raptors, which is pretty good on nine Raptors.
Yep.
So I was feeling pretty good about this game.
In hindsight, Karchev's pretty good in Menoth.
You should not be able to tow the Avatar.
Oh, yeah, towing the Avatar is fantastic. But on the other hand, it can lead to bad things.
It didn't go that bad. So a couple highlights from this game. Yeah. I start off on fire. I have Anissa and the Raptors and the Seraph go, and I think I killed eight Errants on turn one.
Yeah, seven or eight. Yeah, it was down to, I think,
and I killed them so
four.
You couldn't self-sack. Yeah. Because so I could get a double shot off of Anissa.
Okay. Okay. Yep.
And so I was like, "Kaka, kill eight errands. Nothing. What can possibly happen?" And I like kind of wander Typhon up, not really thinking about Toe and how silly it is.
Yeah.
And so then Typhon decides to get charged by Scourge of Heresy and the Avatar.
Yeah. Which seemed really, really great at first, and then the Scourge of Heresy whiffed his charge attack.
That's good planning on my part.
Yeah. Rolled, I think, pretty poor, like 2 damage on his first flail attack.
Yeah, and then he also missed.
And then he missed his first sword attack he purchased afterwards.
Yep.
And then he hit with the second sword attack, which did some damage. And then, of course, I rolled 2 focus for the Avatar that turn as well.
Which proves my point. He should only be 10 points, do you agree?
Yeah.
The Avatar should only be 10.
I agree. Or 9.
Well, 9. Let's not
be
greedy.
No, realistically.
Yeah, I mean, if it didn't have random focus, then I could see it being 10. So maybe 9. I think you might be right.
Yeah.
You're onto something there. Yeah. So, Typhon dies.
Yeah.
And luckily for me, you only rolled 2 focus, so you weren't able to gaze.
Yeah.
Which is the only thing that kept me in this game. So I'm looking down at Avatar and Scourge of Heresy, and I have a Seraph and a Scythian. I do have Harm. Turns out you can't harm the Avatar.
No.
So I Ice Cage and Harm Scourge of Heresy. I move the Scythian up, get them both engaged, and I immediately take the sword I'm off the Avatar by rolling a 12 on 2 dice. At dice minus 4.
Oh, no, you took the shield arm off, yeah.
No, not that shield. You're right, the shield off.
Yeah.
Like a boss. And I'm like, oh, we're back in this game. So I got 4 Raptor charges, a Seraph charge, and the Scythian in to kill both your Jacks. Like, barely.
Yeah. And then I guess my turn. Zealots are awesome, apparently. They rolled like madmen, roughed up Anissa pretty good.
Yeah, I engaged 3 with Anissa because I was like, they're not going to be able to hit Anissa. They're mat 6. They need 9s. And you hit her, what, 3 times? At least twice.
Twice, and then I got a drift onto her.
Yep.
And then another one of them killed a spell martyr, managed to hit a raptor and light another 2 on fire.
Yeah,
and do about 10 or 12 points to the Scythian before Karchev walked up and finished him off.
Yeah, that was really neat.
Yeah, and then also Saxon Oryk gave Nicaea, Pathfinder, and she charged into the back flank, killed a Blackfoss shard guy.
And my poor shepherd.
Yep, and your shepherd.
And took a shot at my Forsaken and killed him too.
Oh, yeah. That was also fun.
I was like, well, this is neat. I mean, I at least could have blight bombed Karchev. That might have been kind of fun because you were like camping 5 or 6. I was like, oh, this will be great. Like, I'm totally going to just pwn him. And then he's like, no. And I'm like, oh,
yeah,
sweet.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And the sad thing was I can't claim good playing on that because shooting the Forsaken instead of a Black Shard was just kind of an afterthought. I'm like, oh, I don't like Forsaken. Maybe I'll shoot at that instead. Thank you, Quick Work.
Yeah. Anyway, the game kind of boils down to his Zealots did so much damage on the next turn, too.
Yeah.
Like, just, like, killing everything. And, I kind of dug out a little bit. I was feeling pretty good. And I didn't hear you say no spells in the book, so I was like, well, I'll just stranglehold Vilmon so he can't charge Doomy. And I'll charge Doomy in there and kill a few Zealots and sort of, like, you know, shoot some more Zealots with the Seraph and, you know, use Anissa because she was barely alive at that point, I think.
Yeah.
Killed, like, 2 more Errants, like, the last 2, so I could change her prey over.
Yep.
And I'm like, you know, life is good.
Yeah, just have to hold out against Karchev with Doomy and things aren't so bad.
Yeah, so Doomy's camping 3. The Seraph is unhurt. I've got a Shredder that is half hurt. And I'm like, I think I can do this. Well... if only it was so easy.
Yeah.
The first thing that happens is Anissa gets killed, who's engaging like 2. And then those three zealots.
It shows Monolith Bear walks up, kills Nissa.
Oh, yeah.
The other three zealots all proceed to hit P. Doomy with firebombs.
With firebombs. And
also beforehand, Vilmon is moved by Corbeau to get a charge lane on Doomy as well.
Yep. Uh-oh. So some transfers later, you know, I'm looking at Doomy and I'm like, he had feeded, and I'm like, maybe we'll get lucky. And Karchev sort of wanders up and he's like, boost a hit. I'm like, take D6, take 6 to your 5. He's like, all right, one shot you. And I'm like, all right, like 5 more tough checks and I'm in. So I rolled a roll, my tough check didn't quite happen. So congratulations.
No. Yeah.
You schooled me.
Yeah, it was fun. I can't say it was a fair fight, but it was still enjoyable.
I would have had Karchev, it would have been so glorious. But I got double crossed.
Having Karchev was fantastic. You should have tried it.
Go double crossed again. That's.
Maybe if you get dealer's choice again, we'll give you Karchev.
Yeah, so somebody else can double cross me.
that might or might not happen.
Yeah. But, so today I've gotten, just so people know, three rounds. I've gotten shipped from Ossian to Gareth. I've gotten shipped from Cromack, who would have been unbelievable, to somebody dumb. Oh, Vindictus. Vindictus is an amazing beast caster for Legion, let me tell you.
And I got with lots of infantry, which you had, 10 warrior models in your list?
Something like that. I had a unit of raptors.
Then you had the Black Frost Shard.
And the Black Frost Shard.
Oh, yeah.
Speed 11 raptors was kind of cute. Yeah. Well, not speed 11, but move 11.
Yeah.
Backup 5. But yeah, that was not amazing. And then, you know, my third round, I got shipped from Karchev to
Doomshaper.
P. Doomshaper, who is
apparently the best Legion caster ever.
Yeah.
Oh, sarcasm. Sorry.
So I can't wait. Fourth round, we'll see who bones me next.
All right. Well, we're about to start the next round here, so
let's
get things going. Yeah. Thanks, guys.
Well, and there you have it. Hopefully those battle reports are interesting to you. I know there's been a lot of who's the boss in all of our podcasts so far, but that's just because it's been really the topical thing of the season, what with Merry Mayhem. But I know a lot of people have been really fascinated about the format. So for those of you who are sick of us talking about it, well, good news. It's over for now. But for those of you who cannot get enough Who's the Boss, there's always more coming up. We already talked about Dice Dojo on January, but I know, Andy, you've already got a few more lined up.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
A few more. Like, they're
a few more.
This thing is ever-present now, and it's obviously going to be even more so going forward.
Yeah, we're getting a lot of requests, actually, to run this event in other places, too. It's been amazing. We've got Who's the Boss that's coming up at Adepticon, and that's going to be at Saturday night. I think it's already been sold out, but I don't know if they actually have a waiting list of some sort.
It might, and otherwise, because I know that when I went to Adepticon last year, there was stuff that was sold out, quote-unquote, that I was able to get into once I was there, because there's always people, you know, every single event at Adepticon sold out in, like, 15 minutes this year. I mean, it was insane. Yeah. They opened it, and they were sold out. So I'm sure plenty of those people are going to end up not being able to go.
Yeah, no, that's, and very similar to Gen Con, that's actually going to be like a privateer press kind of backed Who's the Boss. So there's going to be all painted casters at that event. It's going to be run by Travis Marg. Basically all Adepticon privateers run by Travis Marg.
Yeah, Adepticon's his baby, basically.
Yeah. So that should be good. It's not going to be an overnight event, but it is going to go late night. It's going to be starting at about 7 o'clock.
You said it goes till 3 in the morning. That's pretty overnighty.
No.
I guess that's bar closing time. That's
late
not,
night. Yeah,
that's bar close.
Yeah.
That's slumber party.
It gives like it's bar close at 2, and it gives you an hour to randomly try to find your home.
Yes.
Hope you don't walk into the wrong house.
Or to find a bar that's on Eastern time and still open. I guess that would be Mountain time.
I wonder if you could legally have
you drink
a bar,
like, right next to a time zone. Could the bars close and you just, like, walk 10 feet and drink for another hour? That's amazing.
We'd have to move to a time zone.
I am house hunting that time zone wines right now. And what's great is if you work on the other side of the time zone, you can sleep in an extra hour.
Yeah, just
it's like, oh, I got to work at 9. I better wake up at 9:30.
Couldn't you possibly get a house that's literally on the center of the time zone change and then position your bed so it is in the middle? And then instead of hitting snooze, you just roll to the other side of the bed?
Yeah. Yeah, I suppose so. Although then that's a whammy, because when you get off on the other side of the bed, it's like, oh crap, I'm late for work now.
Yeah.
You should live by the international dateline, and then you get two birthdays in a row. Yeah. Yeah. Think about it. In that awkward silence. That's good on the radio.
I was just thinking. I was like, nobody cares about me enough to give me double gifts, though.
I don't even give you one gift.
Yeah, no one gives me gifts. That's fine. Then we have Who's the Boss over at the Mayhem Cup.
Yeah, which I don't think that has a date yet.
They had a date, but they changed it.
Springish. Well, oh, okay.
I don't know exactly what date it is, but I know they changed it. You can find it on Musa Mini's website. They'll have it up there eventually.
Yeah.
But we're going to be a alternative to the Masters event on Sunday. We're going to be running three rounds of Who's the Boss for everyone who just wants to play in it. It's not, again, it's not anything that counts towards a cup. It is an entirely
You go
casual
there,
event.
Which is great, because it's something to do after you don't make it to the finals.
Yeah. Yep.
It's always nice to have those. I play in those all the time.
Yeah, and then we have this convention that you're going to be going to, which is Aeon Fluxicon.
No. I have a great Aeon Flux costume that I plan to wear. It's beautiful. I think I pulled off quite well. I've got the physique for it.
Is it just duct tape?
It's nothing but duct tape and dental floss. A lot of dental floss. Like, I wrap it around like a mummy. Like, I go through 18 spools for my moobs alone. So, no worries.
Oh. Yeah, it's a mental image I did not need.
That's the problem with cosplay, is quality control.
Yeah.
Cosplay's fine. I support cosplay. There's some cool costumes. There's some characters I would love to dress up of in actual legitimacy if I had the time or skill to actually make, like, cool-looking costumes and stuff instead of something that just looks like a garbage bag. But yeah. The key is, find a really awesome character who's shaped vaguely the same as you.
Yeah, I mean, every year I go to Gen Con, I see fat Klingons. And the only fat Klingons I've ever seen on television are usually the ones on High Command, and there can't be that many of them. I mean, there's
just nothing but bureaucracy.
Yeah, just all bureaucracy Klingons running around.
Well, you know, but fat Klingons is no better than, like, a skin... insert fat character here, I guess.
Yeah.
Like, if you're a big bearded guy, then you should cosplay as Santa Claus or a Harley, you know, biker gang member.
Or a dwarf.
Or a dwarf, exactly.
Yeah, I would fit as one of the dwarves.
Which is, you know... Yeah. I don't cosplay as Han Solo. Keith shouldn't cosplay as Jabba the Hutt.
No.
We each wear the appropriate... I do a great Jabba, by the way. I do a great Jabba, I do a great Tusken Raider, and I do a great Tauntaun.
I heard Salacious Crumb. I honestly did not even... Oh my god.
Yeah, I'm sure that's going to sound great. I can lean back and do my Tusken Raider. There's my Tauntaun, in case you couldn't identify what that was.
I'm just imagining my roommate who's in the room right above us.
Just hearing a Tusken Raider suddenly and randomly. I may or may not have grown up making all the Star Wars animal noises as a child.
As a child?
As an adult. Yeah. Yes.
Current.
Forever.
Yeah. No, talking about cosplay costumes, it's kind of random, but I think probably the best cosplay costume I have ever seen is the Yip Yip Aliens. That was, I don't even know what con it was.
Yip, 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 yip.
Yeah. They had two full body Yip Yip Alien masks, or just suits that just look awesome. It was the best thing I've ever seen.
I saw a guy who was a wacky wavy arm inflatable tube guy.
Yes.
And he's just doing the moves and the dance and throwing the arms up and then hunching over and snapping randomly. Like, that couldn't have been good for his back, but it looked really cool.
Yeah. No, that looked definitely very good. All right. Well, I don't really have much else to talk. We're kind of in mid-season for...
Is there going to be Who's the Boss at Gen Con 2? That would be topical. Is that official yet? There was one last year. Or is Adepticon as far out as we've got official so far?
I think Adepticon's as far as we got official. There might be other surprises in the future, but... have no
Forget
idea.
Forget I said anything then.
Hey.
Yes, I was just assumptive.
Hey.
And when you assume, you make an ass out of Uma Thurman. It's a proven fact.
Oprah?
Oprah makes an ass out of Uma Thurman? No. What?
Uma? Oprah?
Uma Oprah? Oh, yes, David Letterman. Hey, Oprah. Little girl, want to buy a monkey? Hey, I quoted a movie. That makes me funny and clever. That's how the internet works.
Oh, that's pretty amazing.
Fuck it. We're doing it live. I'm funny. Memes.
This is Major Tusk. I'm going to be signing out. You guys take it easy.
All right. And I'm an obnoxious dickbag. Goodbye.